Adam, good morning. How are you? You know what we need? Go on.
That's okay. I'm doing great, Jack. What do we need?
We need music. We need to get some music in our situation here. The movies has, or the music has to be Motown, the disco.
You want music playing while we're talking?
ELO. What do I call it? Bumper music?
Yeah, we got stuff coming in. Well, we do that. That's done after we do this, Jack. We're just recording the show itself. The music gets put in later. The magic.
Oh, does it? That's how it works?
Yeah, but we can't just take folks like ELO and start playing their music, right? They, you know, we have to pay them royalties. We do that kind of stuff, Jack.
Well, that's all right. They're worth it.
They're worth it? Yeah, those are good. Well, you always have songs kind of go in your head. You know, you can feel free at any point in time if you want to bust out and start singing again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. Fine, too. We did a little bit of that when we were back on the radio, you know, back in the old days, Jack, when we used to be live on the radio. We did a little bit of that karaoke evenings, right? On Wednesday.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. The little bumper music there kind of prompted it. Sometimes you'd be in that mood, start singing right along and keep going.
Yeah, we're certainly missing those parts. Yeah, for those of you who are newer to the podcast, welcome to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. We used to, until last year when the pandemic hit, we used to actually be live on the radio every week. And so we'd have the ins and the outs, right? You know, we'd have the breaks 15 minutes past the hour and the half hour and everything else. So to Jack's point, that's what he's talking about. We'd have the music going out and the music coming back in. And depending who our engineer was, some did a better job than others of kind of getting our tunes there. And we'd have fun trying to guess, well, who sings that? And we'd have some good times with that. So it's always
good. We did. Yeah, that was. That's a nice feature.
The part of the beauty of the podcast is we don't have to have those interruptions unless we decide to have those interruptions, Jack. We have a chance to kind of flow here a little bit without those restrictions, which is nice. And so we've been enjoying that here for the last year plus of just doing straight podcasts, which has been fun as well.
Well, over the last couple of months, we've been involved with our clients leaving us. They've been leaving us because they've been getting acquired by consolidators. You know, companies rolling up industries here, basically by acquiring small businesses. There's a lot of that going on. In fact, we had three in the last, year and a half, approximately?
Just in the last 6 months that are going. Yeah, but the last couple of years, especially, Jack, it's been, we've been very blessed to have a number of our clients be approached, which is a common thing. We know, you as an owner, you're probably getting phone calls, emails, even letters still these days, Jack. People still mailing letters out, right? But there's these inquiries coming in from a variety of sources. And they might be saying, hey, I'm interested in buying your company, perhaps, or potential some sort of something. Or I represent somebody, something along those lines. But they're out there. And so are they legitimate? Are they phishing? Or is it real? And what do you do with those things? And
Well, most of the small business owners that we've come in contact with, most, not all, for sure, but most don't know what to do with those letters. They usually end up throwing them away. Sometimes I would, no, it's hard. That's probably a wrong statement. I would say it's 70-30 the other way. You have to hold on to them, but they don't know why. Maybe someday.
Got
to put them in their top desk drawer that's it.
If it's coming email, they got a folder of emails they stick in that folder. If it's the physical one, they're putting that physical letter in that folder in their file cabinet for whatever, right? For that day, Jack, right?
Just in case they got to sell.
What's happening there with that, though, Jack, is it's focusing on the wrong question, right? And that's part of what we want to talk about today in our show. And it's related questions, but they're distinct, okay? And so I think the question most people are thinking when they get those inquiries, Jack, well, I'm not ready to sell yet, Jack. I'm not ready as the owner to sell yet. So I'm not gonna bother with that. And so and our answer to that is, you know what, that's fine. You aren't ready to sell as the owner. But that's not our question for today, Jack. Our question today is, your business ready? Is your business ready to be sold?
Is your business ready? That's what our coaching company does, Maximum Value Partners. That's what we do. We get them ready to sell. We get them ready to make profit. That's what's going to sell ultimately.
So maybe the best way to kind of highlight what we mean by this, Jack, maybe I tell a quick little story about actually our first business coaching client. And this is how they came about, because early on in the genesis of Maximum Value Partners, which is our business coaching company, Jack and I were doing a lot of valuation work and helping people buy and sell companies, because that's what I was doing in my time in New York, and that's what Jack had been doing for a little while in terms of buying companies for himself. And so in addition to doing the coaching we didn't know about, we were kind of getting started on stuff, we wanted to help people out. We had a client, you know, who turned out to be a client, approaching us that was two partners. And the reason they approached us was to say, hey, we're ready. We want to get out. And it wasn't that, hey, they kind of built it to where they were, you know, things were great and everything else. It was just that, hey, we can't work together anymore as partners.
Yeah, they had a falling out, right. That's right.
So they'd had a good run for a decade plus and, you know, had done well. But again, they were ready to be done being partners, okay? So they brought us in and said, hey, can you guys take a look at stuff? Give us a sense of what, you know, this process would be like, you know, what's the valuation for the business, and kind of get, you know, help us through the process. We said, sure. So we get in there and we start poking around a little bit and asking questions to see what's kind of going on. And a couple weeks later, we come back with our conclusion, which they were none too happy about, Jack. And they were none too happy because what we told them was that they really, even though they wanted to sell the business, well, it's probably not what they were thinking about. Because at the end of the day, if they were going to sell, they didn't have much to sell. Even though they had 20 employees, Jack, and they were doing, you know, a couple million bucks in sales, these two owners, these partners, they were still the business for the most part. And if they were going to sell, in their minds, the idea is that when you're ready to sell, your idea is, hey, I want to, here it is, you got it, see ya. Yep. I'm dropping my microphone up, or I'm going home. I'm taking my ball and I'm going home, kind of thing, right? And that's what they want to do. They were partners. They wanted to get away from each other. And we said, okay, well, if you sell, that's not going to happen. In fact, what's probably going to happen is they're going to want to hold on to you two guys, because they want you to now transition stuff to where it's going to be part of the business. And so what's worse, working together on your own for a few more years, or selling yourself to somebody else and going to work for somebody else for a couple of years?
Wow, that could be like prison, can it?
Right.
That's right.
So they had a choice of two not as favorable options, right? And so they said, well, what does that mean that we're part of the business or everything else? We kind of talked to them about in terms of how to kind of get away from that. And it was this very concept, Jack, in terms of, well, you got to get your business ready. You got to get stuff, you know, out of your head to where the two of you are so important to the business that you can't leave. And so they committed to being able to do that, Jack, in terms of kind of going through and getting the stuff out of their heads so it became part of the business. And a couple years into that, what happened was the one partner wanted to buy the other partner out as part of this. And as you go along, within, you know, the next several years, eventually they were able to sell the business and walk away when they sold after a couple months, right? I'm just kind of transitioning things over. But it's more what they're hoping to do, but it took them almost 10 years to get there, Jack, in order
right.
to happen.
Right.
So even though they were ready when we met them, it took another 10 years before the actual sale happened because the company wasn't quite ready. And as I got into it more, it's often what happens too, is you get into the process here of getting your business ready. Often you get re-engaged in the business in different ways, and it becomes more fun, because all of a sudden, if you aren't the business, if it's not all about you, where everybody's calling you for the answers, you can't go on vacation without checking in or just working from a different location. Again, if those kind of things are happening with the business, but if you are able to transition that, then we're also, hey, you are able to leave, whether it be for a few days or a few weeks, and things seem to run. Things may even run better when you're not there, okay? If you're at that point, well, chances are the business is ready, whether you're ready or not. You know, there's some very simple things like that to judge, Jack, whether the business is ready yet or not.
Well, how do you do that, Adam? How do you get that business ready? That seems like a pretty tough thing to do, especially if you have warring partners here.
Right.
Well, no, wait a minute. We were able to do that, weren't we, through our coaching?
Right. That's right. So... And for those of you who've been long-term listeners of the show, you're aware of our seven keys to success. That's what we use in our business coaching practice. That's what we kind of define in terms of the things to be working on as an owner and mastering those seven keys and making those things starting to work in the business. And so just very quickly, you know, as you kind of go through those, and we'll include a link in our show notes to this as well, is you've got these seven things, and they're present in every company, whether how good they are or not, they're going to be there. And it's making sure that they're in good shape that enables these things to happen. So it starts with number one is a vision. Where are we trying to go with all this stuff? What are we doing here? And we'll actually touch more on that in more depth next week. But what's the vision all about? You know, where do you see this company going? And we usually try to think in bigger chunks, 5 to 10 year chunks in terms of kind of where are things going.
And brief and applicable to somebody just trying to make profits and get their business in order.
Right.
Selling it usually is not the objective. I want to get my business in order to sell it. It happens because you're zeroing in on profit and culture and good things that drive value ultimately.
And one of the things that vision does is it helps to inject a lot of energy and excitement to the business and a very good focus for what we're trying to do. And right. When it comes to this point of being ready to sell, not having to sell is a good part of being ready to sell, Jack, right? And so,
good point. Good way to put it.
If you've already achieved your vision, you feel like you're done, it becomes very difficult to get that potential buyer to believe that, well, look, even if you don't buy me, I'm going to keep on going because I have these other things that I want to accomplish. Versus going, well, no, I've kind of, we've accomplished it all already. So we're kind of done. Well, that puts you in a pretty difficult negotiating position, Jack, right? Because they think, well, you're not ready to sell for sure. So it starts with that vision. Again, as Jack said, very simple, kind of high level. The first step on that vision, though, is that profit plan. That's key number two, or is that terrible word that we don't like to talk about here, that budget word, right? The profit plan is the forecasting out of your revenue, your expenses, and eventually your profit, but also encapsulates, Jack, the piece of not only looking out ahead, but also making sure that your current numbers are in good shape. So, you know, looking at your current, you know, profit and loss statements and your balance sheets and be able to kind of review those and know what's in there. But have those things in good working order so that if somebody comes asking, oh, hey, can you give me the last 3 years of numbers? You know, that should be about a 2 minute exercise to pull that together, Jack. If you're on top of your stuff and your business is ready, that's part of the business being ready. You've got these things in place. You have those certain reports in place that you're looking at regularly and you know that they're there and you know that they're good. Okay. So having the profit plan piece, having your numbers in good working order. Now, as we said,
most small business owners don't have their numbers in good working order because they don't pay attention to them. They don't look and use them to manage the business. That's why I think one of the biggest causes of companies, small businesses, not making it beyond 5 years is because of that. They have no idea about cash flow in a meaningful way. And they often don't even know if they're making profit, as strange as that sounds. So how in the world can you run a business successfully without knowing that information? And that's what the profit plan does. And it's done in the format of a profit and loss statement. And it's your numbers, predictable or not. You can start to forecast and project out and then track your guesses until you start to get better. And you do get better if you stay with it. It's a big deal. Profit plan's a big, big deal.
Yeah. If somebody calls, to your point, Jack, and they start asking about your business and they ask, well, were you profitable or not? And if your first response to that is, well, hey, something along the lines of, well, hey, we had to pay taxes last year, or the balance in our checking and savings accounts keep going up, Jack. So yes, I guess we must be making money, right? If you have those kind of initial responses to somebody, all of a sudden that tells that potential buyer a lot about what's going on in your business. And for them, it's going to raise some questions about, okay, well, gee, probably what I'm going to see in terms of those numbers, Jack, may be kind of a bit of a mess in terms of what's kind of there. So, and as you have those numbers being kind of a mess, or it's kind of a wink and nod, and just, hey, trust me, that stuff is there. We see that a lot too when it comes to there are several different industries, Jack, where it used to be that cash was a big part of the business. A lot of cash deals happening, you know, maybe some side deals happening here, right? Maybe not everything's getting reported quite the way it should type stuff. And it's like, hey, just wink and nod, and hey, trust me, it's there kind of stuff. And those things don't engender a bunch of confidence, somebody new coming into the business like that. And so how you talk about handle your numbers in terms of the profit plan is a key piece of this. Now, tied into that, as we said, the profit plan is number two. Number three is the marketing plan. And the marketing plan is tied to the profit plan because it ties that top line of sales. You know, as we know, Jack, in the small business world, so many folks will use the words marketing and sales to be intertwined. And
right.
As we teach our clients, those are, yes, they are intertwined, but they're not the same things. And so understanding your markets, understanding who your best customers are and how to find more of them, how to retain those current customers. And what stuff are you doing from that standpoint? And do you have customer concentration issues where you've got one customer that's, you know, half your business or more kind of stuff, right? So just understanding kind of what's there and what does that look like? And having a plan in place serves what stuff you're doing. You know, how you growing the business? How are things continuing to kind of go? You know, again, coming back to, it ties into the plan. And not only have we done well in the past, and whether the bank account's going up, we're paying taxes, right? Or we actually can look at our numbers and see what's going on. We have a plan for this year in terms of what we're looking to do. We get excited about that plan. Okay, so having that marketing plan in place to be able to kind of see it is really, really...
Well, it seems just logical, doesn't it? You're in the business to make a profit. Even if you're a nonprofit, you have to have a profit. They'll call it something else. So you're in the business to make a profit. So shouldn't you have a plan to do that? And shouldn't you have an internal procedure that marks time realistically against that plan? After all, if you know you want to make a plan and you're happy with this plan based on your resources, why shouldn't you make it? Why shouldn't you put everything into trying to make that? And that's what these seven keys will teach you to do. But marketing obviously is a big deal. If you don't have sales and can't rely on sales, what kind of company do you have? Not really an attractive one to you or anybody else.
So that's key number three is the marketing plan. Right in the middle of our seven keys, key number four is the organization plan. That's the people side of stuff. So who's doing all this stuff? So coming back to our opening story here with the our first business coaching client who wanted to sell. One of their biggest challenges was, well, they had some good people there. And the challenge was they hadn't necessarily empowered those people. They hadn't really gotten those people up to the point where they were doing a lot of the day-to-day work. The owners themselves had kept a lot of those key decisions. And you kind of use the analogy a lot of times, Jack, about birds in a nest kind of looking up. And that's kind of where these little birds looking up at the owner said, hey, tell us what to do next. And they really hadn't challenged them. It was interesting as we went through the process, Jack, over the course of that 10 years, the handful of key folks that want to be in the key folks 10 years later were there on day one when we met them, right? They were there. They just hadn't been empowered and utilized in the right way to kind of get those things happening. So getting the organization, it's the people who are there. And so do you have the right people on board? You might. And if you do, well, how are you getting them, up to speed with what needs to be done? How are you getting things off your plate as the owner to where it's not you making all these decisions? When you have the profit plan in place to execute the profit plan, that's a big focus for you, but it should be the big focus for the organization too. Not just you doing it. The entire team is helping you make that thing start to happen. So, how do you do that? So again, a very simple way to judge this, Jack, is how do you take a vacation? Do you take a vacation?
Yeah, that's a good one. That is.
And if you are taking a vacation, what's it look like? Again, are you working just from a different location this week or this weekend or whatever it might be? Or are you truly able to kind of get away because you have confidence in the team that's there to get stuff done? That they're going to make decisions while you're gone, that they aren't going to do things to tank the company to be able to screw stuff up, that you've got things in place where you've got maybe some different touch bases going on, or you've got some different reports that you can look at and see that they don't even know. You can be checking in on them, first thing in the morning, checking in, certain reports of what's kind of going on. You can see the activity happening.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I think it's often underrated with owners of businesses taking time off, truly taking time off and enjoying it. It's something that has to be learned and almost forced. And, no one's going to do it but you, which is usually the case with, businesses. You're the owner. You call the shots. And your routine is so embedded in the running of the business 7 days a week that for you to click that off and go on the beach and stick your toes in the sand for a couple of days and just do life differently without worrying about the business. It's easier said than done, but it's something that can be learned. And it should be done just for your mental health, as everyone likes to talk about today. Right. It's a big, big deal. So it lets you freshly think of new ideas and your people and where you're going and what you want to do. When you get into that area, it requires all kinds of energy to figure out what it is you want to do. That's it. But you should know.
Well, tied very closely to that, Jack, is key number five, which is leadership. All right. So tying to the organization. And so leadership in terms of we start with knowing yourself and understanding yourself, but also knowing, understanding the folks around you. And then being very purposeful about, getting folks to step up and take on new roles. So what are you doing? Are you waiting for folks to step up and ask for stuff, or are you guiding them along? Are you creating the organization? Are you creating the structure? Are you creating opportunities for your team to be able to progress and get better? If they, we all have things that we're very naturally gifted at. We all have things that are that can be very tough for us. And so what things are important in the different roles that you've got? So your role as the owner, as a leader, Jack, we always keep it real simple. And we use three words to describe your job. I don't care whether you're owner of the business, CEO, or whether you're just a manager managing a team. These three words should be your guiding principle when it comes to how you're going to lead people. And the three words are
plan, right?
Direct
and control,
right?
Plan, that's right.
Plan, direct, control. And so we're very fond of telling our clients to say, ask the question, what's the plan? What's the plan? That should be your favorite question as a leader. Is what's
do you,
the plan?
Do you, as the leader and owner, do you know what the plan is?
Right.
If you don't know what the plan is, then how can anyone else know what the plan is? They got their own plans.
Okay. So let's touch on it relates to the show here, Jack. So again, to get your business ready to sell. So if the plan is to get the business ready to sell, not that I want to sell, but I want to get the business ready to sell. Okay. So how are we going to do that? Well, we got to make some changes. If it's not ready today, we got to figure out what we need to do to change. And often, Jack, it starts with the owner. What are you as the owner going to do differently? And what are you doing to kind of grow? Because again, you got to get to that role where you're doing the plan, direct control. It starts with the planning. The direction again comes down to, okay, now directing the activities of your people. If you have people there, you want to direct them to get stuff done. And the controlling comes through the series of reports and meetings that you have to do stuff. But it all starts again with the plan. So what's the plan? What's the plan for you? What's the plan for your key people? Again, if heaven forbid, Jack, something happens to you. Hey, all of a sudden there's a health crisis or something like that. I have a good friend whose wife got sick about 6 months ago. Talk about a distraction, right? All of a sudden, you're going along doing whatever you're doing. All of a sudden, you veer this way because all of a sudden something happens. And it's a very common thing, Jack. Health issues happen. It could be something happens to you. It could be something happens to one of your key people on your team too.
Sure.
Life gets in the way sometimes, Jack. Right?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
There's other plans there. So the leadership things is a big deal to kind of have that down and to have it structured where people have, again, some of our better clients are very good in terms of having their own internal, leadership development stuff going on. They create their own programs. And so here's what you need to do to progress at our company. And, it's wonderful things that happen. They're doing it on purpose. And so it's those kind of things. Key number six is everybody's favorite when it's good and everybody's hates it when it's bad, which is cash flow and cash forecasting. So cash flow, like I said, when it's good, everybody feels very good. Fat, dumb, and happy, right? Everybody feels very good. We got a lot of money. We're feeling good. When things are tight, we're running negative. We're worried about running negative. We got to borrow to maybe fund some stuff. Things aren't so fun, Jack, right?
Well, you have to know that. You have to know your cash position. I mean, to just be sane about it all, you have to know. Cash is what drives everything that's going on. So if you don't know it, it's pretty tough to plan the company for sure. And it's pretty tough to stay positive.
That's right. And then the seventh key, which is the one that's often overlooked or maybe discounted a lot, but it's probably one of our favorites, Jack, which is presenting. Presenting, mm-hmm. Because it has so many different facets and levels to it. Okay. As I alluded to before, somebody's calling you that they're inquiring, so that you take that initial phone call, Jack, or you call somebody and set up a call who's interested in maybe buying the company, and they ask a question. Again, as you're answering the questions, whether you know it or not, you are presenting your company. You realize that again, you're being judged on how you're presenting your company, how you talk about your company. And it comes down to a couple of things. One, in terms of how you're responding. So if we're having a conversation, you're responding a certain way. And then it comes in terms of, okay, so we have our conversation, and usually part of the conversation, I might ask for some stuff, Jack. And so how do you give me stuff in terms of how quickly do you give it to me? And what's it look like when you're giving it to me, right? So if I'm asking you for a P&L, like again, coming back to, why don't you remind folks, Jack, of the first company you bought in terms of how they presented the company? What did they give you, Jack, that gave you confidence that this company had all their stuff together, Jack?
Yeah, that boy, what a nice memory that is. This company had absolutely nothing. Well, I shouldn't say nothing. It had a piece of line paper with about 15 entries on it. And the entries really were very poorly cursive written in pencil on this little sheet of paper. That was the stuff. And it was equipment with a couple of notes that were illegible. And that was it. And the broker who was representing it said he was a nice old guy, been around for quite a while, and he had no clue how to pull anything together and advise anybody to do it. And this company was being put out of business by the government. So it's not surprising. It wasn't surprising that there were no documented works that were able to be presented. They were in there somewhere, but nobody knew where they were.
Now, and keep in mind, folks, this is a company that was actually listed for sale. It was listed in the business opportunity sections of the newspaper that it was listed for sale, right? So it was supposedly packaged up, right, to be able to sell. And here we have, you know, picture that legal pad of paper with, you know, those 15 entries, the handwritten entries that Jack's talking about. And then when you go to see the place, Jack, it's dark and dingy, bare light bulbs, kind of almost a scary place where most people who probably even inquired about it or even, you know, went to see it probably got scared away and ran the other way.
That's right.
Because how it was presented. Because it wasn't presented well. Now, you went and bought this company, though, Jack. And what happened was there was a lot of great things that happened as part of that company. A lot of great discoveries. That thing you've told that story in a different podcast a couple of years ago, but there were some very, very good things that were there that could have been presented, right? In terms of historical receivables that were there that could have been collected, in terms of just the opportunity of the marketplace with the nice niche that they had hundreds or thousands of customers that they had over the years, Jack, and a very nice little niche that was being underserved and quite frankly, they weren't pricing things properly. So there were a lot of great things that, you know, when you sold it a couple of years later, you were able to then talk about those things and you were able to have a handshake deal and sell the company to somebody else because you were able to present those things well because you'd gotten these things in place.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's how it works. So well, it's like real estate business today. Same thing. There's experts in prepping the house for sale and coming in to do everything to make the place look like a brand new house. And they're doing it because they want to present the best foot forward.
That's right.
It's logical. So why wouldn't you want to do that with your business? Well, you do, but you don't do it.
So let's circle way back again. So we touched a little bit at the opening of the show, talking about people getting these phone calls or emails or letters coming in inquiring about stuff. And most people tend to ignore them. And so why do they tend to ignore them is because they aren't ready. You know, that's so again, you know, as the owner, well, I'm not quite ready to sell yet. And I think in the back of their mind, Jack, they probably know that the business isn't quite ready yet either. Right. They, you know, and one of the things that most owners don't want to do is they don't want to embarrass themselves. And that's one of the reasons that when we first start with owners, it's rare that they have an open book policy or more transparency where they're talking to their team about how things are going. Or they're presenting the profit plan and the numbers and communicating to folks. They often aren't doing that. And it's because they aren't comfortable with that stuff or maybe things aren't in that kind of good working order. And so I think most folks, you know, whether it be at the back of their mind or the forefront of their mind, I think they kind of know that the company isn't quite ready to show off, right? You mentioned real estate. So if you're going to sell your house, well, you can just put a sign out of the house, you know, in the front yard, hey, for sale by owner, and do absolutely nothing, Jack, right?
Right, you know, exactly.
Don't mow the lawn. Don't fix the landscaping. Don't paint the house. Don't fix the cracked driveway. You know, don't, you know, fix the inside the car, wherever it might be. Like you just say, hey, as is, come on and take it. Right. Now, all of us know, Jack, you're probably not going to maximize the value you get out of your house in doing something like that. Well, how is the business any different? Right.
If I'm buying a messy situation, I'm certainly not going to pay any premium for it. I'll probably pay certainly less than a premium for sure. Probably less than the value of the house or what the value could be. Yeah. I mean, it's common sense.
So as we look at those seven keys, as we talked about before, we said that they're present in every company, Jack. And the question is, this is what we do with our coaching clients, is we try to figure out which ones of those seven need the most love and attention. And so when it comes to your company, well, maybe you've got three of the seven keys locked down pretty good, but the other four you got to work on. Okay. So the question becomes, which ones need the most love and attention? But, you know, if we have to prioritize them, Jack, if we can try to do that, I guess I'll focus mostly on, well, presenting obviously is going to be key no matter what, in terms of how you present it, but I would say on the organization plan, and I would say the profit plan. I think those are probably the two you want to start on to kind of focus on primarily.
They make the most sense, have the biggest impact. Yeah.
And what those will do, they'll start to get you, again, come back to our comment about being able to take a vacation, be able to get away from the business. That's how you start to kind of be able to do that. You start to build on your organization in terms of who's doing what, and start to take things that you're doing and train other people to do those things. And again, they all kind of tie together. It's like, well, hey, if somebody else is doing what I'm doing now, well, what do I do? Well, again, it comes back to, okay, there are probably things you aren't doing that you should be doing, right? So there's always more things to do as the owner. It's a question of what you want to do versus what you're good at doing versus what needs to get done. And so, but it behooves you to kind of take a look through it if you try to grade yourself in terms of how things are going. And that's one of the first things that we do with our clients. We bring them on board. We talk through, where are you on all these things? We have, you know, a questionnaire for them to kind of fill out, assess where they're at. And it usually becomes very obvious what needs the most love and attention. So if you're afraid of your numbers, if you aren't reviewing your numbers on a regular basis, if as you look at your numbers, if your CPA gives it to you or your internal accountant or bookkeeper gives them to you and you look at them and it's just like, I have no clue what I'm looking at, or I see stuff here again, if you don't see your business in there, well, it starts with that in terms of, yeah, let's kind of make sure we can see what's going on, because people often lose sight of what's going on. And to your point, if things are going well or aren't going well, you should have a better sense of that versus wait until you talk to your CPA or wait for your tax forms to get done, right? I mean, that's not the way you want to be running your business to get comfort and to have, make sure your business is ready to be
sold. Correct, though. That's correct. Very well put.
So that was part, to come back to our guys, that's what we focused on them, was getting their numbers in good working order. You know, they had started to kind of do that when we'd first met them, because they had a CPA who was getting more involved with them. It was a good friend of one of the owners. And so they started to kind of get that down. So they're working on that. But the big part of what they were doing was on that organization plan of getting those folks kind of down. We also tweaked the marketing plan a little bit, if you remember this or not, Jack, but their marketing plan at that point, and this will give you a sense of just how old this was. Again, this is going back to almost the beginning of MVP, Jack, almost 20 years ago. But their marketing plan was, they did a lot of stuff for bigger companies or for government stuff. And there used to be these things that came across the fax machine, right? They get all these requests for proposals, every day. And what their marketing plan was when we met them was, you fill all those things out. They filled every one of those. And so they had a couple of people in their organization. That's all they were doing. And they knew the vast majority of what they were filling out was going to be rejected. So picture doing that day in and day out. You're like, here you are doing stuff that you know that's like, I'm just filling out these crazy forms, Jack. And I know it's not going to win the business, but I keep doing it anyway. You know what happens, day in and day out, eventually your motivation goes down and down and down. You start getting hunked over, just the weight of the world. And so we suggested one simple tweak to their marketing plan. Hey, how about you guys, when that thing comes across the fax, how about you pick up the phone and call the person and ask them a couple of questions? And one of the questions had to do with pricing, right? Is this going to be a lowest price only? Because if that was the case, our client knew that they were rarely the low bidder. And so if that was the prime concern, they said, hey, we can pass on those, right? And a couple of other questions that we had them ask, we got to the point where it was like, okay, they went from, let's say they're filling out, five of these things a day to filling out one of them a day. And the one that they were filling out was one that they felt they had a good chance of actually winning. And so it did a couple of things. It took those few people that who were focused on that all the time. Well, they also had some more time now available, Jack, because they weren't just continue to hone their skills at filling out RFPs or RFQs all the time, right? They were also feeling better because they felt like they had a better chance of winning stuff. So the things that they were putting together were actually better because, again, they had a better sense of, hey, we actually have a chance of winning this and we'd like to get this business versus we're filling out forms, checking out boxes. And so to enable those folks to then start to do other things in the organization. So again, tying in, it's how these things kind of tie together, Jack. And again, the seven keys, we discussed them separately, but they're intertwined. So all of a sudden people had time to do additional stuff. And so the owners were able to now take things off their shoulders and put them on these folks who had time that were freed up now because they weren't busy filling out RFPs every day, all day, every day kind of thing, right? And so it's often those kind of, again, simple adjustments or tweaks to stuff. And what happens, Jack, is it makes the business run better. And so you're enjoying it more. And so what it does is it often will delay when you're ready to sell. Because maybe you're feeling like, hey, I'm ready now because, you know, Calgon take me away kind of thing. But hey, if you aren't as involved, in things, it helps to kind of push it along a little bit. And so this can help do that as well. So it's getting those things in place can make it happen, can really make it happen.
That's right. I agree. We've seen it hundreds of times. That's why we coach on it. And it makes sense. It just makes sense. It encompasses everything going on in that business. And you as the owner should know what's going on in your business.
Absolutely. So that's what we're talking about. And again, you know, this is to talk about is your business ready? Not you, but your business. Because what happens, Jack, is if your business is ready, then when that opportunity comes knocking, that's the thing, Jack, opportunity. Come back to the first company you bought. There's an opportunity that was there. Most people missed it. They weren't ready for it. You were ready for it. You could see it. So that opportunity is often that it's that phone call coming in. And again, maybe you aren't even thinking about selling, but it comes in. And you get that call and it becomes that offer you can't refuse.
That's right. That's right. And if you're ready for it, and that's what we're talking about, you can act on it and it'll change your life. I've seen it often.
If the business is ready for it, then you can actually have that thought. And so that's what happened with a client of ours. Like you said, in the last several months, this has happened, you know, quite often. But that's how a client of ours went from that initial phone call to a signed letter of intent within 6 weeks because the business was ready. The business was ready, so they were able to respond and present stuff, and it kept things moving along. And during that six-week process, they came to the point to decide that, hey, they were actually ready too. The owners say, okay, you know, they weren't thinking about it, but when this opportunity presented itself, it got them to ask a lot of questions about stuff. And so the fact that they were able to not have to worry about, hey, is the business itself ready? They could focus all the time about, hey, am I ready? And that's where you want your head to be, Jack. You want your head to say, am I ready for this? Am I ready for what's next? Whatever that means. And if you are, okay, then you can do that. But if you're ready, but the business is not, either you're going to sell it and not be happy because they're not going to sell it for what you should be selling it for. Or as we were saying with our other, you know, the first client we mentioned, you have to go with them and you have to go work for somebody else, Jack. And that's probably one of the biggest fears or demotivates for entrepreneurs.
Right? That's right. That's right. Very difficult.
All right. So that's what we want to kind of cover. I don't know if you have other thoughts you wanted to add to that, Jack, in terms of being ready and getting the business ready.
No, it makes sense, Adam. It's just executing good business, and you need some structure. You need some processes and procedures that'll allow you to do that. You have to see it and how it fits in. That's what the seven keys accomplishes. It lets you see what's in front of you and what you have to master to have a good company. And if you have a good company that's running on all those cylinders, if the opportunity comes knocking, you'll be ready for it. And the key is you'll have some time to walk that beach a little bit once that company's fixed up or at least structured where it's fixed up with good reporting, good understanding, good organization. If those things are in place, you can walk that beach and understand that you're doing good because you're making profits. And if somebody wants to come and pay you a premium, a multiple of those profits, well, you got something fun to think about. So
that's right. And you don't have to sell, so you can negotiate.
That's correct.
Well, you can say, because again, you're okay. If they don't buy it, you're happy continuing running because you're running it well and you're having fun running it. But if you do negotiate, you'll negotiate for the higher multiples, Jack, because you know that you've got your stuff in place. And those seven keys and be able to have those things in place is what people value. And that's how you get the higher multiples for what you're doing. And so that alone, you know, helps do well. So you're focused on the right things when it comes to doing that sale. So, all right. So that's our show for today. We thank you for listening. Now, if you missed any of our prior shows, you can get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. We also have a Facebook page by the same name. Better yet, if you have a smart device, whether it be your phone or a pad or something like that, you can go to any of your podcast players, whether it be Spotify, iHeartRadio, you know, Apple Podcasts, or it might be, if subscribe to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. We usually drop a new show every Thursday, so it'll be delivered right to your smart device that's there every week. If you want, please leave a review. That'd be fantastic. If you have some questions, comments you want to throw our way, happy to answer them either in private or we can answer them on the show as well. You can email us at radio@maximumvp.com or give us a call, 877-849-0670. As I was teasing a little earlier, next week, join us. We'll talk about a little bit about the importance of having a longer-term vision. And it helps to answer the question, why am I doing all this? Why am I doing
God knows. This? God knows why.
And that's a question that you'll be asking. That's a question that your team's asking, whether they're asking you directly or not. But it helps answer those questions in terms of why am I doing all this stuff, right? And so we'll touch on that a little more in depth next week. So that's our show for today. Thanks for listening. We will talk with you all next week.